Thanks for tuning in. The following audio is from Redemption Church, located in the heart of San Francisco, California. We are a multi-ethnic, intergenerational church that exists to make disciples. For more information, visit www.redemptionsf.com.
We're jumping back into the Ten Commandments with the fifth commandment this week, honor father and mother. And can I remind you that when it comes to the Ten Commandments, it is not about obeying this list of rules that you may gain acceptance to God. So often we approach the Ten Commandments this way, that when we come to this list of what seems like rules, that if we can just check every item on the list, we will then gain acceptance from God. But that's not how it works. God has actually given these lists of commandments to people who are already belonging to him. And so he reminds us today and each day that when we come face to face with the Ten Commandments, this is what people who belong to God look like. This is what people who belong to God, this is how they live and how they walk about their lives. So this morning we're taking on the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 with me. Listen to the word of the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. This is God's word. Amen, church. Amen. We're going to sit with that thought, honoring father and mother, honoring father and mother. My mother, y'all, I've talked a ton about her. My mother was a very present parent. My mother showed up for us. My mother cooked meals for us. My mother somehow, some way, encouraged us in the Lord. Even as we began to grow older, my mother would lovingly discipline us. I remember when my mom, you know, in my house, you know, we there was no such thing as spankings. We got whoopings. And so as we grew older, there is, you know, my mom, you know, stopped saying, okay, it's time for you to get this discipline. As we grew older, especially my brother and I, she would resort to like surprise attacks. All of a sudden, she's like, I told you to be in the house at this time, that time. Boom, whoa, whoa, where'd that come from? And we deserved it. I'll be honest, we deserved it. But my mom was a very present mother. Listen, my mom, single mom of five children. I'm the youngest of five, and I played basketball and football in high school, and my mom was the loudest person at every game. I'm telling you, she would be in the bleachers, and she's the loudest. And, you know, there were times where I'd be playing football, and I'd miss a tackle, and my mom is like, son, hit him! I'm like, mama, come on, I missed one. Give me a break. No. She would be the loudest person at the game. She showed up. She was present. There were also times where even in our home, in our living room, my mom would gather us up, and it would be time for family prayer. And she'd be in the center of the circle, and the five of us are circled up around her, and our heads are bowed, and she's praying over us, and she's making her way around the circle, placing her hands upon us as she's covering us with prayer. My mom showed up for us. But a difficult part of my story is that my dad didn't. He just didn't. And I'll be honest, I struggled with this message this week. Like, coming to the fifth commandment brought me some reservation. And I was thinking to myself, maybe Pastor Nate can preach this one. I was stepping into kind of the week preparing for this message with a bit of fear, if I'm honest. Because if I'm honest, I've got a deep father wound. My dad was never there. My dad was in prison for 32 years. And I vividly remember the first time meeting my dad in person. I had seen pictures of him, but I vividly remember the first time meeting my dad in person. We went through security of this maximum security institution. And I remember we're sitting at these stainless steel tables and these stools that are kind of cemented into the ground. And we're sitting there, and there's guards kind of roaming around the room with batons on their waist. And as we're sitting there in the visiting room, there's other families sitting around the visiting room. Men start to pour out of one entrance into this visiting room. And I lean over and say to my mom, "Which one is he?" That's how deep the wound has become. And yet there's a word from God in this commandment that says, honor both your father and your mother. A word that I'm even having to come to grips with, because I just want you to know there were times as I was growing up and not at the same kind of place spiritually that I'm at now, and not understanding the gospel as I understand it now, and not understanding the message of grace as I understand it now. And there were times that my dad would call our house and my response was, "I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to him. I want nothing to do with him." Ever been there before? Anybody? Am I by myself? Just felt bitterness and anger and resentment in your heart, maybe for one of your parents, and maybe you've never been there before, but I think this is, for some of us, a challenge to receive this message of honoring your father and your mother. Two vastly different scenarios. And I just want you to know, it is easy to honor when things have gone well. But when it feels like the proverbial bottom has fallen out, that's when it becomes more challenging to obey this call to honor our parents. Here's what you got to know. That family is actually a big deal to God. Family is a significant thing. We were once strangers and aliens, the scriptures declare. We were far off. We were aliens and strangers. And the Bible says that we were brought near by the precious blood of God. We were grafted in and adopted in as what? Sons and daughters. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, pray like this, disciples. First couple words, "Our Father." There's this significant relationship when it comes to family, and God has this on his heart. God has family on his heart. He has made us his sons and daughters, and we are invited into his family. And do you know that to be a family means that you are a part of something much bigger than yourself? You are called to something that is much bigger than yourself. And as we approach the fifth commandment, we ought to see it that way. That it's calling us into something that is much bigger than our individual story. So the first few commandments are all about God, right? Having the right God and being able to lay down those idols and the correct worship of God. The first few commandments are all about God. And then we experience this fourth commandment all about just Sabbath rest. And I believe it is a transition into how our belief about God then invades our spaces. So commandments about God, the first three commandments, and then there's this Sabbath rest, and it transitioned us into how this worship of God invades our spaces. And then you know what it does? God hits right at home. Right at home. Honor your father and your mother. So the fifth commandment begins with this word, honor. And the idea behind the word honor is to be heavy. It is to be weighty. It is to give respect and dignity. I remember being in a barbershop in Memphis, Tennessee years ago. And I'm sitting there in the waiting room, you know, waiting on my turn. But listen, if you know anything about the black barbershop, it is a black man's country club. Like, we just go to talk politics, religion, just about any and everything. And so we're in there clowning. And, you know, sometimes I would go before my appointment just so I can sit down and clown and talk mess with the other patrons and customers and barbers. And so I'm sitting there waiting on my turn, and there's a guy being served by my barber, and all of a sudden, Zach Randolph walks into the barbershop. And Zach Randolph, some of y'all have no clue who he is, but he used to be kind of a great player with the Memphis Grizzlies. He was a hometown hero with the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is during his NBA career. Zach Randolph walks into the barbershop with a friend of his, and everything just kind of perks up. Feels like light just floods into the room. And it's interesting because all of a sudden, my barber's hands begin to move faster than I've ever seen them move before. Because Zach Randolph's his customer. And I think he appeared without being expected. And all of a sudden, he's just cutting, and I just see the cape being removed. I'm like, that was the fastest haircut I've ever seen before. And you know what Zach Randolph does? He walks to the chair, and he sits down. Honor. There is a heaviness, a weightiness, a respect to the name Randolph. That when he walked into the room, hear me, because of his position. And that's what it looks like. That's what it means to honor. It is to respect the position, to kind of credit and give honor and dignity to the position. Tim Keller says it this way on the fifth commandment: to honor is a decision to treat your parents with dignity and courtesy and to provide long-term loyalty to their best interests. And some of us are like, whew. Some of us like, man, Chris, you like, let's talk about something else. Let's turn the page because you just have no idea what I've gone through. But I want you to hear me this morning. Honor doesn't mean you'll agree. Honor doesn't even mean you'll love. Honor doesn't even mean you'll feel affection for or even to obey. Doesn't even mean you'll trust. Yet there's a respect and a heaviness, a weight to the position. You just got to understand kind of what's happening, the landscape of what's happening in Egypt. We know that work was a very common thing. We know that all too well. But you have to understand that in Egypt, anybody that was elderly, they're not going up to the elderly housing community to serve barbecue. In just a couple weeks, you know, we're going to forego having our normal worship gathering, and we're going to go up the street to serve our community, to love our neighbors, and to cook out, and to have some music in their courtyard, and to be a blessing to those that we stand upon their shoulders. But I want you to know, in Egypt, that would not happen. because the ones who are most esteemed, the ones who are seen as most useful, were the youthful and the strong, the ones who were able to produce the most, were the ones who were given credit to, the ones who were valued, the ones who still had youth were the ones who were seen as valuable and significant. The more you can produce for me, the more valuable you really are. And yet I think there's something significant as God is speaking to kind of this generational value of how even young professionals in San Francisco should value those that are more seasoned, maybe those that have lived life longer and maybe even walked with Jesus longer. There's something that we should value in those that are much older than us. And I think God is pointing this out. It's one of the reasons why, even as a church, and maybe it's aspirational right now, but that we just have this multi-generational, this intergenerational value, because the Apostle Paul said to Titus, tell the older women to teach the younger women. Tell the older men to teach the younger men. We need to value those generations. And I think this is what God is pointing to. We can so often look over those that have lived life longer than us because, oh, they don't understand. It's beyond their time. They're not on TikTok. They're clueless about what's happening right now. They could not understand the world and our society. They don't understand San Francisco. I'm from the South. Are you crazy? What my parents are saying about San Francisco and my grand, what they think I'm doing here? And yet I think God would say there's something significant about those that have lived those longer years. There's something valuable about the ones that are much more seasoned. A city like San Francisco, it often feels like, I don't know about you, but the city caters to young professionals. It often feels like, you know, San Francisco is the kind of city, it can feel this way, that the city has a beef against families and older folks. And oftentimes, this is one of the reasons why it is easy to get here and much harder to stay as a couple grows in family and begins to have children and those children begin to grow. It can seem almost impossible to stay. And yet, there's something that God deeply values. God is saying that they are useful to the kingdom. Those that have experienced more life and more seasoned on them. But all of us matter. All of us, no matter what the history is, all of us ought to be asking the question, what is my responsibility to honor my parents? What does it mean for me to honor my parents? And I want you to hear this morning. The command to honor has no prerequisites. It's not going to feel good. The command to honor, I wish the command to honor came with prereqs. Like, you are called to honor only if your parents both were there for you and present with you and loved you unconditionally the way you ought to be loved. Like, you are called to honor your parents as long as they're not substance abusers or a physical abuser. And some of us, can we just acknowledge, have been harmed and hurt physically and emotionally by our parents? We can acknowledge that. Some of you have been abandoned by your parents. Some of you have felt demeaned and degraded by your parents. Some of you have had challenging relationships with your parents, and now to even complicate it even more and to deepen the wound, your parents are no longer here to even consider reconciliation or resolution. And I'll be the first to say it doesn't come easy. Some of us have parents who have hurt the other parents so badly that it's unimaginable to us that we'll ever be able to honor that parent. We felt the sting of absence. We felt the sting of substance abuse. And yet, hear me this morning, as tough as it is, we are not exempt from the command to honor, even if our parents are dissatisfied with our life's choices. We're not exempt. We're still called to honor. But hear me also, that the command to honor doesn't mean we obey. Listen, when we moved to San Francisco, I just want you to know, you know, I grew up in the Midwest and spent years doing ministry in the South, and my wife grew up in the South. I just want you to know our parents weren't leaping for joy to hear that we were moving so far away. And yet, our call, as we created our narrative and our family, as we long to follow in God's footsteps for his plan for us, our call was to follow God and not to obey our parents. And the older we get, there are gonna be some things that our parents just disagree with. As you grow older, your parents won't always understand. They won't always agree. But your call and command is to honor and not obey. But here's one of the final things. The command to honor means we must forgive. This is challenging. Forgiveness, y'all, means we release the anger. It means we release the hatred. It means we release the bitterness. And it's almost as if it's a burden that many of us carry, and we must lay it down. Entering into forgiveness means we lift the heavy burden of fear, of anger, of bitterness. We've lifted upon ourselves, but forgiveness says we're allowing God to lift it off of us and to lay it at his feet. Every way that we've been wronged, forgiveness says we're releasing it and laying it at the feet of Jesus. Forgiveness means we're able to pray for their well-being. Forgiveness means we're able to pray for their salvation. I mean, ask yourself the question. There's many of us who have mother wounds or father wounds. We have parental wounds. And we would strongly declare that there's no anger, there's no hatred. I'm good. And yet, how often do we pray for them? How often do we pray for their salvation? How often do we pray for God's best to happen in their lives? And yet, I want you to hear me this morning. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't mean that they're exempt from consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you'll be pain-free. Forgiveness doesn't even mean that the relationship will ever be fixed. Forgiveness could mean distance. Forgiveness could mean you're never present with again because it's unhealthy. And that's true for some of us. And yet, forgiveness has to mean there's a releasing of every ounce of bitterness. There's a releasing over time, maybe many sessions of counseling. Forgiveness means you're walking in newness, the newness of Jesus Christ, by releasing it and laying it at the feet of Jesus. But it doesn't mean it'll be fixed. And maybe some of you were hoping for some like rosy story of what it looks like to honor your parents. But I think it's different for every individual. There's some of us who have been deeply hurt and deeply wronged, and yet God calls us to show up for those parents. He calls us to contribute to their well-being. And as challenging as it is sometimes, that's a part of my story. That over and over again, God has called me to show up for my dad, as reluctant as I can be sometimes, y'all. My dad was hit by an ATV, broke both of his legs, only been out of prison for a couple years. And I believe the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You gotta get on a plane and go." I'm like, "God, what the? This man did nothing for me." This is my conversation with God. Missed every game, every significant moment, every child, and every my wedding, and every significant, but God, what? Show up. And this is what happens when we enter into genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't always look that way, but it looks like radical transformation. It looks like living and operating in such a way that is abnormal and countercultural. Because oftentimes the culture says, "Hey, listen, somebody, I don't care who it is. Listen, we're good at canceling folks. Like, if I don't care if you're my mother, my father, you wrong me, canceled. You're done." And yet God is calling us to enter in and to show up for and to honor. Here's the good news. We have a parent that has loved us unconditionally. We have a parent that has showed up for us and that has given his very best. We have a parent that's not looking down upon us because of the decision of the university we've chosen. We have a parent that is not looking down upon us because of the person that we've married. We have a parent that's not looking down upon us because of the career path that we've chosen. And some of us have relationships with our parents that way. We feel like their love is based on a condition. Their affection, their praise, their acceptance is conditional. Yet what God offers us through Jesus is this unconditional love that cannot be compared to anything else. And he is inviting us into this family, this relationship, this family as sons and daughters with unconditional love. That he gave it all up for us, that he held nothing back because of his unconditional love for us. And now he is calling us to then extend that to our own families and our own homes and relationships to one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the grace that you've lavished upon us, Lord God. We thank you that you have called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Thank you that you are our Father. A Father that shows us unconditional love. And Lord, for some of us, even though we didn't get the love that we ought to have, but Lord, your love is infinite. And we thank you for it, Lord God. Give us the strength and the boldness to show up for our parents in the ways that you're calling us to show up for them. As complicated of a relationship as it may be at times, Lord God, we pray that you would help us to honor. Help us to give dignity. Lord, you've called us to do for people who can offer us nothing in return, and sometimes that's the hardest, even in our own family unit. But give us the strength. Lord God, give us the boldness. Lord, help us to say yes to this command to honor. Help us to walk in obedience with you above anything else, that we may be conformed into the image of Jesus. And it's in your name. And everybody said,